Yeah, made simple.
Yeah. All right. 1, 2, 3. All right, everyone. It's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Rant Show. Now, we've had a lot of problems. Obviously, my computer shit the bed, and, you know, it was... It's basically a Windows Search Indexer error. I don't know what the hell happened, but my Windows Search Indexer... I guess because it wants to be online all the time and it can't, it went kind of mad because it couldn't find files. So, I basically went online and I found out that Search Indexer is not something that's really all that important. It's not really needed. A lot of tech guys don't use it. So, I got rid of it and you can just disable the whole damn thing. Yeah, and it says, oh no, I'm disabling Windows Search. No, you can still use the search bar. It just won't index everything, so it takes a little longer to do your search. Boo-hoo. That's not a big fucking deal. It's not something I can, you know, just... You know, I'd rather have a computer that works, and that's what it does. Also, I learned about so much about my computer. It's ridiculous. I learned all these PowerShell commands, and I basically found out what the issue was, because after I reinstalled Windows and have the newest version of Windows 10, basically, it started doing the same thing, and I'm like, okay, so this is what it is. And I took it out, and computer works again. Because it was over, yeah, it was, basically what happens is the indexer gets so upset that it can't find something that it uses more and more power, and it uses the whole damn C drive trying to look for it, and it makes it so you can't use your computer because it's using all the power to search for the files it can't find. Yeah, it's fucking, somebody doesn't know how to design their shit, is what that is.
Yeah.
And I fixed it. So I don't have that problem anymore. Just had to disable that. Probably have to disable Windows Update in a bit. There's just a lot of stuff with new Windows because as soon as I connected it, and believe me, I basically had a crash and then I couldn't use anything. Couldn't use my graphics card. Couldn't use my internet. Couldn't use nothing. But as soon as I reinstalled Windows, it found my internet and it found my USB, everything, without even having to set it up. And it was able to download all the updates and everything it fucking needed. And not only that, but you could tell that it wanted to be an online, pure online experience. Because my search bar has a thing of Bruce Lee on there because it was Bruce Lee's birthday. So apparently they want to integrate the fucking search bar and everything to change online. I'm like, yeah, I get it, but not everybody has the money to have something like that that can be online all the time. So, basically, no, I kind of say fuck you to them, and I'm disabling a lot of their updates and things that make it want to be online all the time. I'm basically going to run it offline. So, yep, that's what I'm doing. And so far, so good. Alright, so I had to do everything. I had to basically reinstall all my games. Well, No, I didn't. I had to back up all my games. Some of them I had to reinstall. I lost progress on pretty much all my GOG games, but yeah, it is what it is. I just realized that, damn it, I'm going to have to go back through Trails in the Sky again, and I really do want to get to the Cold Steel series and all that, but I've got to play them in order, and one of these days I'll do it, I guess. I don't know. I was even using cheats. You know, that was how bogged down that fucking battle system was for me. But anyway, got all that fixed. No problems there. All right, so we got to talk about our sponsor, Revy Innovations. Revy has just announced that Follow Me Eyes are now being handled by the Dollhouse. He's not going to be working with them anymore, but he's still going to, I think, handle manufacturing. Hold on, let me get that email right before I botch this live. And he writes another email and said, yeah, you could do that a little better. Which, yeah, we are going to do that. So JT at the Dollhouse is taking over production, meaning that they are now only available on the Dollhouse and basically the same as his waifu goo. Concerning your SRP and Follow Me Eye giveaways, the SRP is coming from me, but the Follow Me Eyes will now be coming from G.O. That's not me. That's for another YouTuber. Former YouTuber. That's for the monkey. The monkey gives away the SRPs and stuff like that. So if you guys, you know, want to get the SRPs from TFM, who you should already be following on here and watching. So, but anyway, yeah, he's That's probably not for me. So there we go. We won't be talking any more about that. Okay, and we have one more other announcement. First of all, you guys got no more days of the Jazz Black Friday sale. So if you wanted those fucking games cheap, you shoulda got them. I even got a free copy of Rady. Yes, free copy. Because they have Jazz Coins now. And Jazz Coins basically need 1,000 for a dollar. And I had 7,777. So, something like that. So basically I went in there and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get myself a free copy of Rady. Because I bought the third one and I bought the second one. And they're really fun. Guys, I won't be playing them on here unless you guys ask. If you guys want me to play Lightning Warrior Rady 1, 2, and 3, let me know. I have to know or I will completely skip these because they're dungeon crawlers. And some of you guys might want to see that gameplay. Some of you guys might not. And I'd honestly prefer to finish the Evenickel stuff. By the way, I spent 3.5 hours today getting back to where we were in Evenickel. It was fun. I actually wasn't frustrated by it. There were a couple battles I had problems with. I had to use Cheat Engine on a few things. But other than that, no. I wasn't frustrated at all. Honest to God, Evenickel is one of the few games I can go back to and be like, oh, this is fun. I don't even feel bad that I lost progress. Because it was just really fun to go back and do everything. And that's rare. You don't get that with games much often. Yeah. So, by the way, yeah, Evenickel, it's available on everything now. I think even Steam, but yeah, Kagura, Dempasoff, Jast, GOG. Well, it was on GOG, but, you know, you can, you know, get it. It's a fun game. But, all right. Our Erogay announcements, you know, finished with, except for, you know, How to Live a Healthy Hentai Life 2, which comes out just a couple of weeks. Oh, don't worry, I'm getting it. We've got this unfortunate announcement from the MGTOWN podcast. As you know, I am a big fan of the MGTOWN podcast, you know, fan of Drexel, and of course he was in my server a couple days ago when I was fighting with the computer. We were actually going to have him in for the open mic. That would have been great, because it was going to be, dude, we had the biggest open mic we ever had, and I was having computer problems. It pissed me off so bad, and I had a lot to talk about. So maybe that'll happen again. You know, maybe we'll get in there again, and everybody will get to talking, and we'll have some good things to talk about. But anyway, basically, Tim of the MGTOWN podcast announced, most of you have probably heard by now, but we are ending the current pre-recorded hour-long podcast format known as MGTOWN Podcast. This is not the end of Drexel's content. He is evolving his show to be more of a real-life on-the-street show. Shorter, more frequent episodes, and many more guests. I'm hoping he's going to do an anti-Fresh and Fit. Because, as you know, Fresh and Fit pay a lot of these fucking girls to do their shit, where Drex doesn't have to. So he'll get a bunch of these different girls to come on there and literally talk about how they feel about men. And it's going to be a whole different fucking ball game. He might even get canceled, but I don't even give a shit, because I'd rather hear the truth from these ladies than the bullshit that these guys are paying them to say. And many more guests. We're also shedding traditional Red Pill, MGTOW, Manosphere, etc. labels in favor of just being real. All Drexel, all the time. That's fine. I mean, another thing I definitely asked, I said, are you still going to do movies and games and things like that? Are you still going to talk about that kind of content? And he said, yeah, absolutely. You know, we love that kind of content. So, that's good. And they're trying to get him into a session of D&D. They really want him to try D&D. And I said, that would be great. Because I was listening to the guys geek out about Warhammer last night. And, you know, they said, you know, it'd be great if Drexel could get in with get a game of D&D. And I said, you know, I'd play with you guys, but I haven't played D&D so long that I don't really remember. Like, I don't know. I guess I'd play a Necromancer or something. That's probably my class. But I know if I play Warhammer, I'd play an orc. The orcs are fucking badass. I'm sorry. I'll tell you one thing about the orcs. The orcs It doesn't matter. Like, they'll have a ramshackle piece of shit plane. And if they believe it can destroy a giant fucking warship, it can. Nothing works unless they believe in it. Like, they could have a... They could have a dildo. Or, and they could put it into a... like a toilet paper holder. And if they believe that's a rocket launcher, then that dildo will fly out and destroy something like a rocket launcher. Their whole thing is based on belief. If they don't, if they believe it's, it happens, it happens. He can use a butter knife and slice off your arm like a fucking machete. Because they believe it cuts like a machete. That's how powerful they are. It's crazy. And they talk like black Scottish people. Yo, what, mate? What's the... yeah, they really do talk. You gotta play those games. They're so fun. They've got Blood Shooters and Teef. And they have Daka Squadron. Those are both really fun games. So, they're both DRM-free also. So, go check them out. GOG's still having their sale. Both are on GOG. Alright, so... What does this mean for Patreon? Well, yeah, if you guys were on Patreon, they're eliminating the tiered system in favor of just a $5 supporter. That grants you complete and total access to our Discord, which I'm on, so, you know, check it out. And, of course, the live Q&A, chats. Those are good. All people supporting at 10 and 20 will automatically be enrolled to 5. What else is changing? Well, unfortunately, due to low demand, the MGTOWN shop is closing. Just, you know, they had shirts and everything else, but it just wasn't as popular as they thought it would be. I bought my waifu a shirt, and I promoted that, and... I mean, that... I think they wanted it to be bigger than it was, but it is what it is, and I'm glad that they're moving on to something else that Drexel wants to do. And, I'm glad. But... Issues connecting bank accounts to Subscribestar, they're also ending their presence on that platform as well. Finally, they'll be archiving their channels on alternate platforms that will serve to grow our audience or render us cancel resistant. So you'll see them on platforms that I'm on! BitChute, MGTOW.TV, Rumble! Great platforms! By the end of this, Rumble and YouTube will still remain for you to catch the old episodes, but YouTube channel memberships will no longer remain. They can suck it after banning Nick Rikita like that. The Patreon and Locals page will continue to allow people to support Drex's content. This covers costs like hosting, bank fees, paying off our expensive computer equipment, compliance costs, and others. If you're on Subscribestar, please consider moving to Locals or Patreon, otherwise you'll lose access to this Discord on such and such a date. Now... Hold on. Let me see. I'm going to make sure I'm not... Live show! Great time for me to check and see. Well, I mean, that would be funny if that was the case. I wonder if I am actually... You know, I think I am. But... We'll probably worry about that later. I can probably support him on Locals, which is cool, because I give Rikita $5, and I'll give him 5, and that will help me out, because the 20 was actually hurting. Or was it 10? The 10 was hurting. So, 5 and 5, that's fine. Support Rikita, support Drex, those are two YouTube creators I care a lot about, good guys. I haven't really gotten a chance to talk to Nick, but I have talked to Drex several times, and he's just, like, he's a friend of mine, so... I love it, you know, it's great. I love to be able to hang out and talk with all you guys, get in the Discord. You know I enjoy that stuff. Even if I'm fucking frustrated and ready to take an axe to my computer, it helps. So, now what you're here for. The articles. And we do have some. What do we got? So, first of all, we got an interesting little article here. This comes from Noisy Pixel. Not quite what you'd expect, but it's something funny to start out with. Legend of Heroes, Kuro no Kiseki 2, Crimson Sin, which we don't have yet. Nominated for Best Toilet in Gaming, 2022. Japanese outlet GameSpark has announced a rather unique 2022 gaming award. 12 titles released this year, been nominated by this publication's editorial staff for having the best toilet. Fans can submit screenshots of any toilets found throughout the 12 different nominees for consideration. Are you playing something?
No, I'm just delaying stuff on my phone.
There's music or something.
My bad.
Yeah. Fans can submit screenshots of any toilets found throughout the 12 different nominees for consideration. With the social media handle of the screenshot takers started to be mentioned alongside whichever game takes the prize. Developers themselves are even able to participate. GameSpark has chosen the following games for potentially earning this reward. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Sniper Elite 5. You played that, haven't you?
Oh yeah, I love it.
Well, how are the toilets?
The toilets.
Are they, I mean,
they're very old fat. It's the one that has the handle that you pull from the
oh shit,
the bowls at the top, and then it has a pipe that runs to the toilet bowl.
Wow, they're using old school toilets. Of course, the Legend of Heroes,
it's from that era,
right? The Last of Us Part 1, Yomiwari Lost in the Dark. I have that game and haven't checked them. Ghostwire Tokyo. I have that and I have not actually looked at the toilets. If anybody is really curious and say, you know what, I've got these games, let me know what you think the best toilet is in the comment sections. We are definitely curious to what gets the Golden Bowl Award here. Aperture Desk Job. I've never heard of that. SCP Secret Files. I've heard of that game, but only in mention. I haven't actually seen it. Gotham Knights. That recently got released from Denuvo. One version does not have it. So, but some people bought it anyway. If you guys see a toilet or, you know, let me know what those toilets are like. Stray. I haven't played Stray. Elex 2. Oh, I haven't bought that, even though it went for about $30. I need to play the first one before I spend money on the second one. And Horizon Forbidden West, which is not currently available on GOG yet. But here's all the games that they are voting for the best toilet. Now, they don't know what in the world this toilet actually, you know, what... They don't know what defines this great toilet. He said, what exactly defines it? Perhaps realistic usability and appearance, I guess. I don't really know. Hmm. So, of course, it's in Japanese. And that's really it. Best toilet. I'm going to have to take the toilets in games a lot more seriously now. I'm going to start really looking. Guys, we've got to do that. We've got to start taking our toilets more seriously in games. The Japanese do. The Japanese care about a good-looking toilet in a game. So, from now on, when we play games and you see a toilet, we're going to definitely let you guys know what we think. Because toilets apparently mean something over there. Now, here's something I'm not surprised about, and this is going to be something I promised I was going to talk about. I'm sorry it got a little late, and this will be the main feature, so you guys will see it. And if you just want to scroll through my preamble and all that, get to this, we're there. Okay, this is going to upset you, and yes, I've got to read it in full. It is what it is. How TikTok Live became a strip club filled with 15-year-olds. Live streams on the social media app are a popular place for men to lurk and for young girls enticed by money and gifts to perform sexually suggestive acts. You're paying my bills, MJ told the audience, running a finger over her mouth. $35 for a flash, one viewer responded. Another asked how much to send to her Cash App. As she posed and pursed her lips, her long blonde hair draped over her tight black bralette, some asked MJ to show them her feet. Because of course they did. I'm 68 and you owe me one, one attendee told her as more requests piled on. These exchanges did not take place between adults at a nightclub. They took place on TikTok Live, where MJ, who said she was 14 years old, was broadcasting with friends to 2,000 strangers on a recent Saturday night. So where is the police and the where's the people that are supposed to I mean, why are we having real-life fucking maggot bait style? And I'm not exaggerating. That's literally the kind of shit that they're... This is voyeuristic child shit. She's 14!
Yeah.
A Forbes review of hundreds of recent TikTok live streams reviews how viewers regularly use the comments to urge young girls to perform acts that appear to toe the line of child pornography, rewarding those who oblige with TikTok gifts, which can be redeemed for money or off-platform payments to Venmo, PayPal, or Cash App accounts that users list in their TikTok profiles. It's the digital equivalent of going down the street to a strip club filled with 15-year-olds, says Leah Plunkett, an assistant dean at Harvard Law School and faculty associate at Harvard and Berkman's Klein Center for Internet and Society, focused on youth and media. Imagine a local joint putting a bunch of minors on a stage before a live adult audience is actually giving the money to perform whatever GPG or PG-13 activities they request, she said. That is sexual exploitation, by definition.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what TikTok is doing here. The transactions are happening in a public online forum, open to viewers almost anywhere on the planet. Some of the demands are explicit, like asking girls to kiss each other, spread their legs, or flash the camera. God damn. And some harder to detect, masked with euphemisms. Commenters say outfit check to get a complete look at a girl's body, pedicure check to see their feet, there's a spider on your wall to get girls to turn around and show their rears. Play rock, paper, scissors to encourage girls to flirt, fight, or wrestle with each other. Phrases like put your arms up or touch the ceiling are often directed at girls in crop tops so viewers can see their breasts and stomachs. And many simply coax girls to show their tongues and belly buttons or do handstands and splits. In return, the girls are showered with virtual gifts like flowers, hearts, ice cream cones, and lollipops that can be converted to cash. U.S. TikTok users are supposed to be at least 18 in order to send and receive gifts through Live that can be turned into money, and those under 16 are meant to be blocked from hosting live streams altogether, according to company rules. TikTok has robust policies and measures to help protect the safety and well-being of teens, a company spokesperson said. Well, it doesn't look like it.
Yeah.
Those include setting accounts under age 16 to private by default and restricting them from using direct messaging. We immediately revoke access to features if we find accounts that do not meet our age requirements. The company said in an email that it also removes content containing sexual activities or attempting solicitation and that it has a zero tolerance policy for CSAM, child sexual abuse material. Some of the accounts that hosted live streams viewed by Forbes were no longer active several weeks later. But that doesn't mean they're gone. They're like a whack-a-mole. You put one down, another one goes up. The U.S. government and regulators' concerns about youth-focused apps like TikTok are intensifying. In his first State of the Union address in March, President Joe Biden called for Washington to hold social media platforms accountable for the national experiment they're conducting on our children for profit.
Yeah, I'm the only one allowed to sniff them. Yeah, they're all mine, yeah. What year is it? Who's president?
Huh. And while TikTok has been spared the worst of the criticism that has rained down on Meta, formerly Facebook, the Chinese-owned video app is beginning to draw more scrutiny for the dangers experts say it poses to minors. In March, a bipartisan group of state attorney general launched an investigation into TikTok's alleged harms of underage users, and according to Financial Times, the Department of Homeland Security is looking into the platform's handling of child sexual abuse material. A TikTok spokesperson said, "We appreciate that the state attorney general are focusing on the safety of younger users, and the company is cooperating, but TikTok was not aware of the Homeland Security investigation," she said. The department did not respond to multiple requests for comment from Forbes. In the wake of congressional probe into how Meta and Instagram may hurt children and teens, an inquiry prompted by revelations by a Meta whistleblower last fall, lawmakers in October, for the first time ever, hauled in a TikTok executive to testify about its policies on underage users. But more than 6 months since, Congress has made little progress on its pledge to revamp decades-old children's online privacy laws. Meta-owned Instagram declined to comment for this story. I'll bet they did. A hotly contested provision of federal law called Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which shields internet companies from legal liability for hosting and moderating content that users post on their platforms, could protect TikTok from much of the activity happening on TikTok Live. In cases which any live streams contain CSAM or sex trafficking, federal criminal laws would apply regardless of Section 230, says Jeff Kossoff, a cybersecurity law professor at the U.S. Naval Academy and author of the 26 words that created the Internet, a book on Section 230. But much of the questionable activity on gifting on TikTok Live falls short of those things. Former federal prosecutor Mary Graw-Leary said the fundamental problem with Section 230 is that it enables social media platforms to get away with and even monetize many of the same harms that could result in a lawsuit for brick-and-mortar businesses simply because they're happening online. If there's a digital platform, we somehow treat it differently, she said, but the great irony is that the harms are not only the same, they're worse. The wildly popular social media app, best known for its lighthearted views of dance routines, is beneath the surface a cash cow, where money and gifts are often sent by adults to minors. Top legal law enforcement and children's safety experts told Forbes that such activity on live streams can enable predators to groom targets for online or offline sexual abuse and sextortion, warning of the girls' consequences of unfettered access to girls, warning of the consequences of unfettered access to girls' bedrooms and bathrooms, where most of the streaming occurs. Yeah, and that's also what they do on Twitch with a lot of those girls.
Yeah,
that's how it starts, says John Sheehan, a vice president of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which shares tips from tech companies about suspected child sexual exploitation on their platforms of law enforcement. The unusually intimate connection created by TikTok Live can serve as a way for predators to test boundaries and build rapport with possible targets over time, the ultimate goal being to obtain explicit images and videos or potentially meet for sex. The situation can quickly go from images of the feet, whether there's monetary compensation, just the fact that they're willing to take those images, that move off-platform into other platforms or other environments where they continue to ask for additional photographs more sexually suggestive, then that very quickly turns into pornographic images, he said. And then before you know it, it's a sextortion case. TikTok users spend more than $2 billion on the app in 2021. Up $1 billion from the year before, according to data and the analytics firm Sensor Tower. Never heard of that. TikTok declined to comment on how much of that was spent through TikTok Live specifically. I bet they did. Those watching the real-time broadcast can buy TikTok coins they use to purchase and send digital gifts to the host of the live streams. In turn, those going live can link their TikTok and bank accounts to redeem those virtual items for real money. TikTok is far from the only social media platform to enable payments or virtual gifting between users or to offer live broadcasting features. But its scale and young user base set TikTok apart from rivals, according to the Stanford Internet Observatory's Chief Technology Officer David Thiel, making the platform's problems with live content and the monetization of it even more acute. Almost half of minors in the U.S. use TikTok at least once a day. Thorn, a nonprofit fighting child sexual abuse, found in a 2020 study of 9 to 17-year-olds. In the last quarter of 2021, TikTok removed more than 15 million accounts suspected to be younger than 13, the age required to use its flagship platform, and nearly 86 million videos that broke its rules, according to its most recent enforcement report out this month. I didn't know that. 15 million accounts suspected to be younger than 13. Damn. Almost half of the videos taken down during that period were removed for policy violations related to minor safety. Yeah, I'll bet. Snap, Instagram, and YouTube, other popular destinations for children and teens, have also been criticized for exposing underage users to dangerously or unhealthy situations. Snap declined to comment. I'll bet they did. A YouTube spokesperson said users must be at least 13 or have parent and guardian permission to use the platform and pointed Forbes to its policies, prohibiting live streams, videos, and comments that exploit or endanger minors. Minors say a majority of potentially harmful interactions they experience online, including sexual, happen on those platforms and TikTok, according to Thorne. And these exchanges often generate material that may never go away, as screenshots and recordings spread off mainstream platforms across the internet. The Internet Foundation says it has found troves of child sexual abuse imagery from live streams being redistributed on third-party websites. The challenge is that it goes all over the world after that, says Peter Gentile, senior legal counsel at the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. Predators on live streams may abuse in the moment, screen capture, then use that for their own purposes afterwards and make other money for it on the internet, whether it's dark web or other places where it's openly traded. Lena Nealon, who leads the center's corporate accountability efforts, added that having Venmo, PayPal, or Cash App accounts listed in a person's TikTok profile, as many young women on the app do, can sometimes be indicators of trafficking, suggesting to buyers that this individual or her sexually explicit materials may be for sale. TikTok said if it identifies attempts to drive viewers from live to other platforms for sexual solicitation purposes, it immediately ends the stream and takes enforcement actions on the host's account. Ella turned the lights down low and propped the phone up in front of her body, just beneath her chin, so her face was hidden, and picked up a pair of scissors. Very slowly, as Ariana Grande played and nearly 3,000 people looked on, she began snipping pieces of her white t-shirt. Strip by strip, hole by hole, with every cut revealing more of Ella's chest and black bra, commenters clamored for more and digital gifts poured in, a steady stream of roses, fire, whipped coffee, and other cartoonish prizes. If you do the black part, I'm going to send TikTok Live 35,000 TikTok coins, $400, one viewer wrote, urging her to cut off her bra. And others, pop one, now the shorts, more mid-drift, yo, keep going, baby, at 100K she'll flash. Tell me where to come so I can give you the attention you are actually looking for. Though Ella did not state her age on the live, commenters guessed that she was between 12 and 18. Some emphasizing how young she seemed, joked that she was 2. Despite TikTok's intended restrictions around live streaming and gifting for minors, verifying that users are in fact old enough to be using certain apps or features remains an unsolved problem across many mainstream social media platforms, TikTok included. Madison, 17, from South Carolina, told Forbes that some of her underage friends had been earning $200 a week off the gifts they'd racked up in their TikTok live streams. Although she can't receive live gifts yet because she signed up using her correct age, Madison told Forbes that does not spare her comments from older men trying to sexualize girls and their offers for money. Can we see brown shirt topless? One commenter asked as Madison and her friend in a brown shirt answered questions on TikTok live last month. Madison was also asked to show a bit, please, and stand over cam. Even after her live's end, some viewers have followed up with Madison through Instagram, which she linked to her TikTok and offered to pay her to speak with them. I'm a minor, and I don't enjoy 40-year-old men saying that to me, Madison said. There are probably kids way younger than me in the same situation. Madison explained the various euphemisms that commenters use and added, it took me a while to put it together what it was, but I feel if a girl's 13 and doesn't really know what that means, then they're just like, okay. Some content on live may not cross the line into violating platform rules or state and federal laws, experts say. But they warn that encouraging and financially rewarding minors through the streams, even for doing things that can seem relatively innocuous, can often escalate into more exploitative situations. A $10 investment with a child for an offender is a fantastic return because it's a small amount of money. It gets the kid doing something that they probably normally wouldn't do, and that's when the stick comes out. That's when the actual sextortion begins, says Austin Barrier, a special agent with Homeland Security Investigations, who specializes in livestream cybercrimes and child sexual abuse. Barrier says parents he speaks to are generally not aware of what's happening on livestreams, and that when the money exchange takes the form of fun pictures, as is the case on TikTok, it makes what's really going on even easier to miss or dismiss. With the platforms where the monetization is through tokens or flowers or stupid little emojis, he says, it doesn't click in a kid's head. I think they're actually being paid, and the parents don't really need to stop and think, oh, someone's paying my kid to dance. No, they're just getting little flowers and little hearts. It allows people to separate that. That's true.
Yeah.
If they're getting, because the parents don't know that it's money. A TikTok spokesperson said the company has zero tolerance for child sexual abuse material. Of course they did. And when we find any attempt to post, obtain, or distribute it, we remove content, ban accounts and devices, immediately report to NCMEC, and engage with law enforcement as necessary. TikTok said it flagged more than 150,000 potentially violated videos to NCMEC last year. Jesus. Despite agreement on both sides of the aisle that more must be done to protect kids and teens online, lawmakers could not be more politicized over how platforms should moderate content and how best to amend or repeal Section 230. Short of that consensus, TikTok and other tech giants have been self-regulating on content moderation, but the industry has made little progress in the burgeoning live streaming space. Platforms have shown an inability to police comments that flow rapidly below often temporary live streams and then disappear, says Thiel of Stanford Internet Observatory. And while it's not hard for the AI to detect and prevent hate speech, euphemisms and code words like those often used with girls on TikTok Live make real-time automated enforcement much more of a challenge, he says. TikTok has taken steps to give users more control over comments they receive. The company announced this month that it had started testing a tool that lets users dislike comments they feel are inappropriate. Users can also turn off comments for their live streams, filter out comments that contain certain words, and assign a person they trust to help them manage audience comments. Ella Brown, a college freshman near Kansas City, Missouri, said she struggles with the deluge of comments on TikTok Live, and she's not even a minor. It's super weird that you can't even go live on TikTok without weirdos trying to get pictures out of women. Brown, 18. Well, she's 18.
Yeah.
That 19-year-old girl was talking about, I don't know why people work because I just paid my rent in only an hour of being on OnlyFans.
If this ever falls through, which I think when you flood the market with anything like that, like, what? It's the same thing with the downfall of porn. If you can get it for free on the internet, why would you ever pay
for it? Well, they're paying for it because it's... Okay, I'll tell you why they're paying for it. Because, one, they know it's fucking illegal. They're actual perverts. And they, I mean, they can't get it anywhere else. They also... I mean, they... And you see what they do? They take the streams and they put them on other sites to make money off of them. Third-party sites. All over the dark web. I'm sure that shit's all over the dark web, the black web, the deep web, whatever those are called.
Dark web.
There's two. There's a bunch of them. It's an onion. There's several layers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, a guy was telling me about it.
Well, if it's on the internet, you're never getting rid of it.
Oh yeah. Brown 18 told Forbes, adding she doubts men going live or asks constantly for an outfit check. Definitely stay off live as a younger girl, she said. In just one TikTok Live last month, Brown and her roommate brought more than 500 strangers into their house virtually, were asked to meet up with the men in person to golf, old guys her dad's age, and were offered as much as $50 for photos of their feet. I did not understand at all. Brown said she wouldn't take cash for photos of her feet, but others certainly would. $20 is $20, she said. That's coffee a few times a week. So there you go. Absolutely fucking crazy. So let's see here. We got another one. We got one more, but that's it. New York Post. This is not satire. I swear to God, it's not satire. I gave birth inside a McDonald's. We're calling her Little Nugget. They're loving her. Expected parents, Alejandra Worthy and DeAndre Phillips, were reportedly on the way to an Atlanta-area hospital early Wednesday morning when they stopped at McDonald's for a quick bathroom break. The pit stop turned into a heart-stopping moment for manager Tunisia Woodward when she walked into the bathroom. She said Worthy was screaming that her water broke. Woodward admitted she thought it was a joke before finding Worthy laying back on the toilet. I'm in labor. Somebody get the man in the car, Worthy screamed per the Daily Mail. I knew to tell my crew we're having a baby today, Woodward told 11 Alive, recalling recruiting co-workers Shakira Kegler and Keisha Blue Murray to help deliver the baby girl. While Kegler called 911, Blue Murray helped Phillips, who quickly realized his baby was about to be born in Ronald McDonald's house. He described his fiance as frantic, but reminded her to breathe while the three employees got into delivery room mode. The ladies at McDonald's were at her front side, holding her hands, Phillips said of Worthy. I had her feet propped up on my knees. We told her to push three pushes. Less than 15 minutes later, Nandi Aria Morimi Phillips arrived healthy. She was given the nickname Little Nugget. We are all mothers, so we put our heads together. And all we needed Daddy to do was catch the baby, and he did, Woodward added of the team effort. Next, he'll be catching the child support. Mother and baby are doing fine. Life's amazing right now. Never would I ever have thought I would deliver my own baby, Worthy declared. Now let us celebrate the employees for their drive. We don't just serve food. We strive to serve feel-good moments every day. And this was in fact the epitome of a feel-good moment for my team, said Steve Akinboro, who owns the franchise. He gave each employee a $250 gift card. Woodward said she plans to use the funds to spoil Little Nugget. That's the most ghetto fucking thing I have ever heard in my entire life.
Coming to the stage, Little Nugget.
It,
followed by Mercedes.
Yeah, that's her future. That's her future. The most that this country is done. They just had.
I'm not one to say stereotype, but that sounds like something the Democrats would call people white supremacists over.
Pretty much. Okay. Also, I've got one more thing to talk about before we end, because this has been late. We do have other things to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So, guys, this goes out to Echo Park. I'm gonna just go ahead and say his name. I mean, your comments are in my server. People have been looking. All right, dude, we did not fucking call Jason David Frank an incel. We did not say he was lonely. Jason David Frank had been going through an altercation with Tammy, his wife. A really bad situation. Oh, okay. A really bad situation. A bad altercation. He believes that JDF, when he went into his hotel room, because apparently they got to an altercation, the hotel staff got involved, JDF locked himself in his room, and Tammy locked himself in hers, and she called about 5 in the morning to check on JDF, and the police... basically, they said he was unresponsive. Police came in, and they found out that he had hung himself. Now, basically, people are saying they don't believe that JDF was... that he hung himself. They believe that apparently some mystery man came in through the fucking window or something and did a Chris Cornell on him. You know, hung him up that style. And I've got some things to say. Chris Cornell's a rock star. He's a huge rock star. Jason David Frank is a Green Ranger. I know, yeah, White Rangers, Power Rangers. He's good martial artist, that kind of guy. But he's not a huge ultra celebrity. He's not as big as Chris Cornell.
No.
So, I don't see why they would want to be going after him. I mean, dude, he was doing a fan film. Basically, a fan independent movie. That's what he was doing. He was working into the independent movie scene. This guy wasn't in Hollywood. He was doing shows for Disney and stuff like that. He was doing kids shows. This isn't some great, big... And I understand, he is a big part of my childhood, too. I love Power Rangers. I love the Green Ranger. That costume is iconic. Every time I see that, I don't see Barai. I see Jason. Tommy, rather. You know, that's who I see. And the thing is, man, even though he meant that much to us, when he died, I just don't think he's some huge, ultra-mega star like Chris Cornell. Or Chester Bennington, who apparently died the same way. Or Anthony Bourdain? I don't know. Anthony Bourdain was a comedian, but I don't know, but there was ties to Podesta and the Clintons and all that, and I really don't think that JDF had anything to do with the fucking Clintons either. I'm sorry. I mean, he was from Texas, but that doesn't mean anything. It sucks, you know? It just seems like it was the divorce, and he's not an incel. He's not a loner. He was a man that went through the death of his mother, the death of his daughter last year. She killed herself. And he had his mental health, you know, he said he was in a better place with his mental health. He was going to do all kinds of appearances. But he just got into an altercation with Tammy, and that's what did it. And it had to be over this divorce. She wanted $870,000. You know, he had $500,000 in the bank. It was worth $1.5 million. That was his net worth. So he had about $500,000 in the bank, and everything else was assets. She wanted pretty much all that. He was going to be nothing. And he doesn't really have that much as it is. So he was trying, like, you know, he was trying to do something with this movie. And of course, there was even a big thing that happened today at 10:30. I don't know what was announced, but 10:30 p.m., there was a big event from Bat and the Sun, who's behind that new movie he's doing, the White Dragon. So, let's see, what is that? What is that White Dragon movie? Oh yeah, there's so much more we could talk about. But there's so much more we could talk about because I just found some other articles. But yeah, the White Dragon movie, I gotta find it. Gotta find the name of it so you guys remember. I mean, you might have watched the video, but then again, you might not have. So let's see. Let's see, what is it? Legend of the White Dragon. Legend of the White Dragon. I don't know if the movie got completely filmed. I don't know what Bat in the Sun had to say on that announcement. You can check it out, and I will as well. But it's sad. It sucks that he's gone. And that's all we got from him. And hopefully the movie got finished, that we can actually get the full movie. We can actually get that to remember him by.
Yeah.
And the only other thing I'm going to say is that one other cool thing happened. This is cool. This is on the cool things. We have confirmation. Finally. Confirmation. That Carl Urban is back as Judge Dredd with Dredd 2. It's finally moving forward. Over a decade later, but Carl Urban has talked about how much he wanted to be in that role. He was a damn good judge. Don't you think he was a good Judge Dredd?
Oh, yeah.
So I'd love to see him in that. He's good in The Boys. And The Boys is probably about to end. I think The Boys needs to end at this point. They've run it into the ground. And he's ready to move on. And do Judge Dredd. Maybe he'll be in Mega City 1. We need to really get these characters going. They're iconic characters. And I love Stallone's movie. But Dredd is just so much more what Judge Dredd is. So yeah. Definitely.
I liked him in Pathfinder.
Yeah, yeah.
That was good.
But all right, guys. That's all we got to say for now. And we'll see you next time on the Grim Rant Show. And don't forget, enjoy the decline.
Later.